morning, everybody. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming out this morning. It's very warm in the house this morning, isn't it? It's a bit like a sauna, yeah? Amen. The Spirit is here. Amen. Yeah, it's great to be in the house this morning. We have another announcement. I know we're probably bringing loads of announcements this morning, but this one is very, very special. And it's for all the ladies in the house. So, yeah, and so the announcement is next Friday night on the 13th, we are having a ladies' night. Oh, what a night. Amen. So it's going to be at 7 o'clock in the house, and we're going to have a two-course meal, ladies. So yous are going to be served a lovely meal. And if you see Ailish, Ailish is actually taking names and numbers today. So please look out for Ailish. And it's €14, if I'm right, for the meal. So please sign up for that, because we need to give the caterer the numbers. So, oh, what a night. Who's going to be here? Yeah. Amen. Brilliant. So, ladies, bring a friend or bring an auntie along, or your granny or whoever. So come and be blessed. So, this week, as I was preparing the word, and just off the back of the fire conference, you know, the fire conference, for those that were here, it was a busy weekend. And you know, through the week, you can hit a part in your life where you just hit a lull. And that's what kind of happened to me during the week. I kind of hit a lull. And as I was preparing this word, the Lord kept speaking to me about trees. And everywhere that I went, all I could see was trees everywhere that I went. When I was driving down the motorway, there was trees. When I was driving home, there was trees. And the scripture that the Lord put on my heart for the house this morning is John 15:1-8. And it talks all about, in John 15, about the true source of life. And the word that I'm going to bring this morning is all around that, about the true source of life. And just before we get into the word, I read this passage about a pastor that lived in Africa. And he had a small generator as a source of supply to generate electricity for light. And this pastor had a small church out in Africa. And he actually lived in the church as well. But one day, this native missionary came by. And he noticed that the electric light was hanging from the ceiling in his living room. And he noticed that the pastor was turning the on and off switch for the light. And he watched as the light went on and off. And one of them asked the pastor for one of the bulbs. And the pastor obliged. And what a strange request, that this missionary man was looking for a bulb. But the pastor actually gave him the bulb. And a short time after this, the pastor went to visit this man whom he had given the bulb to. And to the pastor's surprise, he noticed that the bulb was hanging from the middle of the ceiling on a piece of ordinary string. And the pastor was quite surprised when he seen this. And he said to the missionary man that he needed to have electricity. He needed to have a wire. He needed to have a source to connect the bulb into electricity, that the current needed to go through this wire. And the title of my message this morning is Off or On with Jesus. Are you switched off or are you switched on with Jesus this morning? Do we know the true power? Do we know the true source of life? You know, just as the pastor explained to the missionary about the electricity needed to provide power for the bulb, do we really know our true source of power here this morning in the house? And if you turn with me, we're going to read through John 15:1-8. And I think it's on the screen. Yeah. Okay, brilliant. So, Father, we come this morning, Lord God. And, Father, I ask, Lord God, that every ear, Father God, would be open. Every heart would receive, Lord. The Holy Spirit, that you would be all-powerful here this morning, Lord God. The Holy Spirit, that you will come and deposit, Lord God, and just generate hearts here this morning. that you would be the connector of life here this morning, Father. That, Father, that no chair that's represented and people represented in the chairs here this morning would leave this place empty, Father. Because your word says, Father, that your word will not return void. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just looking at John 15:1-8, and it says in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, Jesus begins to paint a picture. He teaches that he is the vine and that God the Father is the gardener and that we here, the people, are the branches. We represent the church. And the point that he makes in the portion of scripture is quite clear, that no branch can bear fruit unless it is attached to the vine. And as I began to hear those words, you know, this week as I was preparing, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Over and over again, I would hear those words. I was woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and apart from me, you can do nothing. It was like an automated voice that was going off in my head. You know, like when you ring the tax office and it says, you're true to the revenue commissioner. You're 50 in line. Thank you for calling today. And this is what this was like. The Holy Spirit was impressing on me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing apart from me. Over and over again, I would hear it throughout the week. And I began to say, is this a negative, Lord? What are you trying to say to me in this? And my spirit began to rise up. And in my spirit, I began to get excited about what the Lord was saying to me. And I believe that this is a word for the house this morning. And it was something that the Lord was impressing on me, that this is a positive thing that he wants to do. And what he was saying to me is that there is much to be done. That there is much to be done. And as believers, if we are truly connected to the source, to the vine, Jesus wants to produce fruit. And he wants to produce much fruit. And he just doesn't want to produce little fruit. He wants to produce much fruit. And that fruit that he wants to produce is quantity and quality. That's what he wants to produce. And he says, those who remain in him will not only have life, they will have much fruit. And you see, what we've got to get out of this is that the fruit is love, that Jesus is love, that the Spirit is love, and that's what he means. But when we don't remain in him, the other side of the scripture means, apart from him, we can produce nothing. Apart from him, we can make nothing. And apart from him, we can't create or bring about nothing in this life. You see, without Jesus, we're powerless. We can't build anything eternal here on the earth. You see, we're spiritually poor. We're spiritually bankrupt. We're powerless when we don't have him. Did you ever notice when somebody walks into a room and you go, wow? And you say, who is that? Who's that person that just walked into the room? And they have a panache about them. They have this like this flair about them, a flamboyancy about them, you know, a real subtle, cool style going on about them, like Eddie Gregory when he walks into a room. But you know, this person, when they walk into a room, they got a lot of gusto going on. They've got a lot of confidence going on. And it's a type of a person that's very self-assured. And you see, Jesus is looking for lasting fruit. Fruit that is not poverty-stricken. Fruit that is full of zap. And you know, when you look at trees, you would see kind of like this, it's like a kind of like a jelly substance that comes out of the tree. And it's all like nutrients that comes out of the tree. It's all good stuff that comes out of the tree. And from that zap on the tree, they actually make maple syrup out of the zap that's on the tree, because it's full of sugar. And you see, when we walk into a room, Jesus is looking for us to have a panache. He's looking for us to have a sparkle, to have a bounce, to have a flair, to have an enthusiasm, to have his spirit overflowing in us. That when we walk into a room, that we affect those things around us that are dead. That we affect those people around us that are hopeless. And you see, what Jesus wants to do, he wants to prune. And that's one of the things that the gardener does. He will come along and he will begin to prune. And you see, his goal is to develop healthy lives with great fruitfulness. And anyone that grows grapes will tell you, the only way to get a good crop and good quality grapes is to cut away excess growth. And you see, excess growth will not produce fruit. You see, Jesus said, if you don't bear fruit, I will cut you off. If you don't bear fruit, I will prune you so that you bear much fruit. So really what he was saying is, you're pruned if you do and you're pruned if you don't. You see, pruning sounds, it can sound destructive, but it is actually very creative. You see, we have a God that is quite creative. And, you know, we've gone to Florida a couple of times and we've visited the theme parks and all of that. And, you know, in the theme parks in Florida, they actually have these trees, and they're tree hedges that are actually cut out into characters like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and many other character forms. And you see, in the theme parks, they have a gardener, and the gardener will come along and he will trim the trees very regular. And he will make sure that those trees keep their shape, that they stand out like Mickey Mouse, that they stand out like Donald Duck. And the whole thing behind that is, it's to captivate the kids when they come in. And it's also to captivate the adults when they come into the theme parks. And you see, that's what God, the gardener, wants to do with us. He wants to prune us. He wants to cut things off. He wants to cut the dead wood off of our lives, so that when we walk into a room, that we stand out, that we have panache about us, that we have a flair about us. Because our God is into pruning. Our God is into cutting out sin out of our lives. You see, when we come to Jesus, many of us, including myself, we brought baggage. We brought baggage from our old lives. We brought habits. We brought attitudes. And, you know, even the way we think about others and ourselves. And the gardener, just like the gardener in Team Park, who trims the trees, God will cut things off. And sometimes God will cut people out of your lives. Sometimes God will cut distractions out of your lives. And sometimes the pruning involves removing sin from our lives, which can be painful. But we must remember that God is not going to leave us there. You see, God is changing us to be more like his Son. And when he cuts away the dead wood, you know, it's a good thing. Because when the tree is dead, when there's a branch on the tree that is dead, it's not going to produce. So when there's something in our lives that is dead, when there's dead sin in our lives, God wants to cut that away so that he will breathe vitality and his life into us. as believers, pruning is necessary. It's necessary for proper fruit to take place in our lives. Because life cannot overflow through us if we are not connected to the source of life. Without Christ, there is no spiritual life. You see, God prunes away the old to invigorate us. He prunes away so that we become more energized, and he puts life back into us. You know, fruit bearing. Unless we have Jesus, we cannot take him to others. Unless we have a daily relationship and prayer life with Jesus, we cannot overflow and we cannot produce life. Here's a thought. What if you are only in Jesus on Sunday and in the world the rest of the week? What if you are in Jesus only at the prayer meeting or at a certain Christian women's group or a certain Christian men's group? What if you are only in Jesus when you're leading the youth night? Or what if you're only in Jesus when you're leading kids' church? What if you are off or on with Jesus? You hang out with Jesus on Sunday, but come Monday and the rest of the week, it's a different story. Am I off or on with Jesus? You see, a true branch that is connected to the vine will always bear fruit. He will always bear fruit, or she will always bear fruit, and they will be in unity. Because without him, we will do nothing. Without him, we will do nothing. I read a story about a man and his wife, and they had their first child. And after 2 months, he had to go away overseas with his work. And he was away overseas for 13 months. And shortly after he returned home, his wife said to him, "Will you change the baby's nappy?" And he said, "I'm busy." He said, "I'll do the next one." And the next time the baby was due for a nappy change, she asked her husband, "Are you ready to change the baby's nappy?" And he looked puzzled at her, and he stared at her. And he says, "Oh, did you mean this time?" He says, "I thought you meant the next baby." And he just kept putting it off and putting it off. You see, the branches that are not connected to the vine, they will simply be picked up and thrown into the fire. And there are many people in our society that are good, honest people, that are people that are do good in our own city in Dublin and around the country. They do random acts of kindness in which they mean well, but they miss out on so much. You see, Jesus says the only way to live a truly good life is to stay close to him, is to stay connected to him. You see, the branch that stays connected will continue to be a fruit producer. The branch that stays connected will continue to be a fruit producer. They will benefit many over and over again and will have everlasting life. They will touch many over and over again. You see, Jesus said, bearing much fruit shows we are his disciples when we bear fruit. And the next point that I want to bring out is, when we remain in Jesus, when we abide in him, it means that we live in him, that we dwell in him, that we know his love. We all have homes or apartments or wherever it is that you live. And you abide in those homes. And if we are in those homes, we are abiding in them, we're living in them, we're dwelling in them. And if we left Jesus out of Christianity, it will be a strange thing. We are not living in him, and we will do nothing. Just imagine if Brennan's Bread advertised all over Dublin that Mr. Brennan is making bread without flour, and it was published in every newspaper. Bread without flour. It wouldn't be long before he goes out of business, because people would hurry off to buy bread elsewhere. You see, remaining in Christ means, as a branch, we should have the same DNA, that we have the same DNA as the stem. If God's DNA is love, then our DNA should be love. If God's DNA is mercy, our DNA should be mercy. If God's DNA is forgiveness, our DNA should be forgiveness. When we remain in the branch, when we remain in the stem, our DNA should be love. You see, to be attached to him, we will create a godly love in us towards God and towards others. And the better we stay connected, the more we become transformed. You see, from out of that connection, we develop a passion to build a relationship with Jesus. We build a passion to have a prayer life. We build a passion to spend time in his word and to obey his command. Just imagine if I was to walk up to a vineyard and I began to start yelling, "Start producing fruit." Just imagine if I was to do that. Nothing would happen. Absolutely nothing would happen. You see, when the vine grower comes and cultivates the land, when he comes and he sows the seed, when he comes and he prunes and he takes away the excess growth, he's done his job. That's what the vine grower has done. He's done his job. And all that the branches have to do in the vineyard is stay connected to the vine. And when they stay connected, they produce fruit. They will produce the most healthiest grapes ever. And our job as believers is to stay connected to Jesus. That we stay connected to him. That wherever we go, we take him with us. When we go to teach the youth, that we take Jesus with us. When we go to teach in our link groups, our home groups, that we take Jesus with us. In the men's group, in the women's group, we take Jesus with us. When we go to kids' church, we take Jesus with us. You see, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, they were the most powerful group among the Jews at that time. They were men of prayer. They were men of the word. But they lived by the law. And you see, Jesus exposed them. He exposed their hypocrisy. You see, they were men that were not producing fruit. They did not produce fruit. And the command for us is not to produce fruit, but the command is to abide, that we live in Jesus, that we stay connected to Jesus. Because when we stay connected, we get into the Bible, and the Bible will get into us. When we stay connected, we will go through the Bible, or the Bible will go through us. If we're in the Word will remain in us. When we read the Bible will read us. When people see us, they will read the Bible, because we are the Bible. When we walk around, people will read us as the Bible. You see, Jesus chose us so that we would bear fruit for God's glory. It says in John 15:7, to ask the Father, and he will give us anything we ask for in Jesus' name. What are you asking the Father for this morning? What do you need the Father to do this morning? You see, fruitfulness puts us in place of asking from God and receiving answers to prayer. Where there's no fruitfulness, there will be very little evidence of answered prayer. At the beginning of this sermon, I brought a word which I believe is for the house this morning. There is much to be done. There is much to be done. And without him, we can do nothing. You see, Jesus is interested in fruit. Fruit that will be everlasting. Fruit that will reproduce. And just like the missionary man with the light bulb, unless that light bulb is connected to the right power source, it's pointless. It's insignificant. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, we might live for the moment, but with him, we will live forever. As long as we are connected to the vine. As long as we're connected, we will be zapped by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will flow through us. The Holy Spirit will energize us. The Holy Spirit will give us such a panache when we walk into a room that we will captivate others. Is your life fruitful this morning? Are you abiding in the true vine? And just finishing, you know, the prodigal son wanted his inheritance off the father. And, you know, at the beginning, the father was reluctant to give it to him. And then the father gives in and he gives him the money. And he goes off and he has his wayward living and he falls into all types of sin. And then when he's out in the world and sin is crouching at his doorstep, he ends up in a pig slum. And he begins to work in the pig slum and he begins to eat what the pigs eat. And he says, if I will just go back to my father, if I just go back, I will work my father's land. I will work the farm. So he makes a decision and he comes back to his father. And the father is waiting in expectancy for his son to return. And the father sees the son coming over the horizon. And the father picks up his cloak, his tunic, and he begins to run towards the son. And he begins to embrace his son. And the father is so overjoyed that this prodigal son has returned, that he sends word to have a banquet, to have a party for this son that was living in the world, that was full of sin, that was disconnected from the family line. The father rejoiced because this son was home. And I believe this morning that there's many here that the Lord is saying, come home. I believe the Lord is saying, come back. Come back to the vine. Whatever that thing in your life is that keeps drawing you back to the world, whatever that thing is that's crouching at your door, whatever that sin is, let me prune you. Let me come and let me cut away the excess growth. That thing that is stumbling you from growing in the things that I have for you. The Father is saying, come. Come and let me shape you. The Father is saying, let me bear fruit in you. Let me use you for my glory. And I believe the Father wants to use many here this morning for his glory. And the question is, do you wish to abide? Do you wish to dwell? Do you wish to remain in the vine? Because if you've been disconnected from the vine, you can come this morning and he will reconnect with you. And I want to ask the worship team to come back. And if we just go back into that last song that Naomi sang, and we're going to open up the front. And if this word has spoken to you, I want to invite you to come. I want you to invite you to come. Because the Father wants to do something. Just like those trees in the theme park in Florida that are shaped into the form of a character of Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. The Father wants to shape you this morning to be more like his son Jesus. So if you need pruning, if you want to bear much fruit for Jesus, if you want to learn how to abide in the vine, I want to invite you to come. Because I believe Jesus is speaking this morning. I believe Jesus says that there's much to be done. There's much to be done. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of pruning, Lord God. That, Father, that you take the shears, Lord God. And, Father, you cut that thing out of us, Lord, that sin, Father, that makes us stumble, Lord God. Father, I believe this morning that you want to bear much fruit in many here this morning. But they're stumbling, blocked in their way, Father God. And Father, I ask that you would remove it in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Remove, Holy Spirit, those stumbling blocks. Remove, Father God, that which would cause people not to move forward. Father, I ask, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, would be read like a Bible, Lord God. That, Father, as they abide in you, as they remain in you, Father God, that, Father, that you would transform them. That, Father, you would change them from into your image, Lord God. that you would transform them, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're in the business of pruning, that you're in the business, Lord God, of transforming lives, Father. That, Father, that you want to make fruit producers here today, Lord God. Fruit producers, Father, that will have a significance here on the earth, Lord, for you. That, Father, that they will live forever in eternity with you, Father God. So, Father, I thank you this morning. Let's enter into worship. Jesus. Jesus.